You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go!
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Roots Rugby. I'm your host, Felix Filippo, and I'm joined by my right-hand man, partner in crime, Scotty Poynton.
Hey, what's up, mate? How are you?
Mate, I'm good. That was what a big week of rugby down here in the South Pacific. We've had an amazing semi-final round to kick things off as well. Midweek, we've had the announcement of both the Wallabies and All Blacks squads. We'll touch on those a little bit later on in this episode, but these guys know what they're doing, eh? They're really gearing us up for what really feels like it's going to be an intense international window. What's been your thoughts on the last 7 days as far as the rugby calendar and how that's sort of affected you, Scotty?
Oh, look, some great running rugby in the weekend with the semi-finals that took place. I think we certainly had, you know, the best four teams in the competition battling it out. The weather, I think, probably evened it out a little bit more, and I thought both teams actually played really well considering the heavy rain that was belting down. Didn't see a lot of handling errors that we used to see. And with the announcement of the All Blacks, I mean, man, how exciting is that? I mean, we're going to dive into it a little bit later into more depth, but we saw some cool names popping up in there that we've been talking about all year. Unlucky for some Usos that missed out, but, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And no, I'm really excited for what's coming, I don't know, this weekend and in the next couple of weeks.
Man, yeah, totally right. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. A game that was littered full of these All Blacks down in Christchurch, that was a great way to start the semi-final round between the Crusaders and the Chiefs. I know both of us were, you know, had both our fingers and toes crossed for a Chiefs victory, but it wasn't to be. They fell, you know, 7 points to the Crusaders 20. And in all honesty, you may debate me on this one. I was disappointed in the Chiefs. And I think a lot of people, even a few neutrals who had higher hopes for this team, just failed to fire. Am I right, or do you have a different opinion? What do you reckon, Scott?
Nah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. The Chiefs is odd because they've been playing with so much flair and tenacity, but it just seemed like they were playing very safe. It almost felt like the occasion got the better of them, and you know those passes that didn't stick. I mean, the Tupia overthrow and even Nankerville's drop ball. Any other game throughout the season, those balls stick, they're in for a trial or they get bloody close. But those are just horrendous balls up that you don't expect from a Chiefs side in a quality outfit like that. But then again, it could just be a credit to the Crusaders' defense. I mean, how many goes did the Chiefs have at their line and the Crusaders held out? I mean, Talvao got over for one great try, running through his fellow All Black companion. And what's his name again? The prop. Help me out here. Your boy. George.
George Bauer.
George Bauer. Yeah, I watched that try a bit, slowed it down a little bit. Eh? And this is actually a good one for all the youngins out there around, footwork and change of direction. Because he just did a quick little shimmy. He had a good little inside angle. One, two, three. And changed his angle last minute, but Bauer had committed to that tackle. And
Oh man, yeah. That was a thing of beauty to watch that Ta'avo try.
Oh, it certainly was, bro. And it just shows, like, I mean, for him, he's been probably one of the best running props, you know, in the tail end of the Super Rugby. So, that's just great. I don't know. Credit to him, really, that he's got a try, and big players are stepping up in the big games. So, good on him. Earned his All Blacks rebirth.
Oosh, yeah, good point, actually. Mm. I I don't want to take anything away from the Crusaders. They were an incredibly clinical side, just really diffused everything that the Chiefs threw at them, as you alluded to earlier. Is it a case of the Crusaders being too good, or did the Chiefs let that one slip?
I think half of me thinks that the Crusaders executed a really well-constructed game plan. It was wet weather rugby, and they just let the Chiefs run with the ball all day. They just kept kicking them back, defending, and they used their defense as their attack, their motivating force to drive them and to give them that energy, you know, when they did get an attacking chance to execute on opportunities that rose. They didn't get many, but they took them, and they built a scoreline and defended the shit out of it. So, we already talked about the Chiefs sort of lacking in attack, but you've got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, they did 250 something odd tackles, which is the most they've made all year in one game. So they had to work for it. I mean, they had they had the yellow and the red for Pablo.
Yeah.
So they didn't make it easy for themselves, and they paid the price for defending, because we all know that all these cards these days, the defender is the one that's penalized, so to speak, or disciplined in all those situations. But I'm going to say the Crusaders just executed a well-constructed plan, and that's credit to the 100-game veteran, coaching veteran, and Razor Robinson.
Sure. It's about time Razor gets some love on this show, considering his impressive rugby CV. I feel like he deserves a few more shout-outs, but I just want to spend a little bit of time on him, because really, you know, gone are the days where you'd expect the team that is so heavily defensive-minded to sort of, you know, sit back, tackle and accept defeat almost because they lack the X factor to score down the other end. It's almost as if the Crusaders thrive off of that defensive mindset and are quite happy to nullify your best shot and then have one or two good, you know, counter-attacking plays that just suck the life and suck the momentum out of that Chiefs team. And there's one play that really flipped the game on his head. You probably already know this one, is when the Crusaders are defending their line. I forget who gets the turnover. It ends up in Sevu Reese's hand, and he just sprints off and kicks all the way down the other end. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they score later on, but even just that kick, that turnover, that kick and chase, I mean, we've had it happen to us before. It's demoralizing, isn't it? Not only is it demoralizing, you've got zero time to really process what's happening, because your try line is under the pump now. So the Crusaders, are they just, you know, showing their innovative class? Have they built this team around guys who would rather tackle and overthrow the ball around? Is this somewhat of a philosophical like rugby shift that we're seeing down south in our Canterbury region?
But I think it's like a little bit of their culture, the environment that's shining through, because to have such a solid defensive unit, everyone's got to be pretty tight to get away with a game plan like that. So I think just their passion for the jersey and passion for the brotherhood, you could probably call it the Crusader brotherhood or knighthood, might be a better word for it. But I think that's really shone through. And again, more kudos needs to be given to Razor, because he has brought in a lot of new faces that we haven't seen a lot in Super Rugby this year. A lot of young blood, and they're still performing. So they perform at such a high level that even their rookies are better than majority. So I don't know, and perhaps maybe this could be maybe coming from a prop, it makes no sense, but would you agree that you know to attack you have to have some level of confidence within yourself to be an attacking player, to run with the ball and trust in your skill and your ability? do you think maybe that's part of the reason why they implemented this game plan?
Yeah, I see where you're going. I think so, but I might just add, because the Crusaders don't attack by accident, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
This whole season has been a masterclass by this Crusaders outfit, and when is the best time to really put the foot down and show off some of that flair? I don't know any other team that does it. The Hurricanes do it best when their backs up are against the corner, when it's a little bit, too little, too late. We've known the Blues have had it, and that, we'll get into their game shortly, but I don't know any other team that's so drilled and so disciplined. It just seems like they've over-prepared for each and every game.
Yeah. I think you're right in the fact that it's a masterclass. How do I put this? It's almost like they have foreseen how the opposition are going to be structured or set up by defending in that way. Do you know what I mean? Because, like you say, it's instinctual. Yeah. It's like they're setting it up. They're setting up the opposition to open a hole for them. All they have to do is just be patient, follow the game plan, and as soon as that picture in front of them appears, boom, kick goes down the field or whatever that may be. Boom, we go wide to Leicester.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, taking those opportunities, getting the 50-20 when they come up, because that they've got danger men out wide with Sevu, Leicester, and Will Jordan. If shucks, even their... Tupaia and Havili, Havili and Enor and all that good gang, their whole backline is just epic. So they've just got to get into a good field position and off they go. So genius. Bloody hell, craziness, I hate saying that. Right?
But, we got to give them their due, because it really was just such a strategist game. And if you're one of those folks, a bit like me, who love the game within the game, this was right at the top of the list as far as, I'm going to do some homework and really try and carve out precisely what the Crusaders were trying to achieve. Speaking of which, who did you think stood out for this game, who implemented their roles to perfection?
It's not on my list, but that I've got here, I think Pablo Matera was actually having one of his most influential games. He got yellow carded because of multiple penalties. So that's more of a team. He was the result of a team effort.
Yeah.
More team ill discipline. So that's one against him. And then
let's just pause there for a second, because their discipline was bad during that stretch, eh?
Yeah, it was. It was. So somebody paid the price for that, and it was unfortunately him. And then not far after coming back on, he puts that shoulder into whose face it was. Might have been Tupaia's or whatnot. But no, it was Bryn Gatland. Bryn Gatland.
Yeah. It looked pretty nasty, eh?
Oh, it did, bro. It did. I mean, that one, you can't get away with it. But previous to that, bro, he's a menace in the ruck. He's tackling everything. If he stayed on for the full 80, shucks. Who knows what more damage we could have done. And, he's the kind of player that I think is he's really shining at this tail end of the Super Rugby season. I think he's finally found his feet and he's really fitting into Super Rugby quite nicely. I'm trying to think of another name, like maybe even Haskell. He came over. He plays in England, bloody number 7, but I don't remember him having this much influence.
And what's it? The Blues, was it last season or the season before they had that Joe Marchand?
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah, yeah. And it he was sort of primed for a big season actually, and he never really clicked. I was like, oh, and he's so good for England, good for England. Maybe it's just a case of Pablo just loving the defensive mindset down there, because that physicality really suits him, eh?
Oh, it certainly does, bro. So, I think, he was having a pretty good game. The only other one is probably Grace Cullen Grace at number eight there. Had a blinder, two tries, and yeah, he defended like a machine as well. I think he made over 20 tackles as well. So he had a really big game for his Crusaders squad. Yeah. Anyone else you're thinking of?
You've stolen them from me, but I my favorite part of that game was that one I talked about, the Sevi Reese chip and chase. That for me just you know, solidifies their immense rugby IQ as a unit, rather than having a pocket of players who make the decisions. It seems like across the board, 1 to 23, they all know exactly what they need to be doing.
Yeah. I think you talked about that in a previous podcast around Sevi Reese's kicking game and how it's so overlooked. But it seems ever since you've said that, I've watched him, you know, with a more closer eye, and yeah, his kicking is on point, eh? And it's always in the perfect timing.
Yeah. And people would suggest, oh, it's going out to the flying Fiji and he's gonna do something amazing. And then he does like a long, because it isn't like a chip to regather. It's a chip to put stress on their defensive line. Yep. And he's trying to make a play in the breakdown. He's trying to drag that guy out because it keeps it normally so close to the sideline. If you're not going to get a try, you might as well do damage in other ways. And he understands that perfectly. Sevi Reese. Oh, I'm jumping the gun here, but for me, that guy's our All Black starting wing. Eh? I don't care what number he wears. Eh? Yeah. But I'm going to discipline myself and not talk any more about the All Blacks. Look, I messaged one of the boys. He messaged me. Good old, I deserve. And not only did we spend extended minutes on the Crusaders dismantling of the Chiefs, I just want to give a quick shout out to old mate Simon Bell down in Crusaders country. Yes, we caught a game a lot earlier in the season against the Canes, and we weren't happy campers. I did say I'd see you guys in the finals. That hasn't happened. So here's your shout out, bro. Your Crusaders are looking red hot. Thanks for the follow, and I appreciate all the feedback, even if it means the Crusaders are one of the top teams. There you go, mate.
Oh yeah. Hurricanes are going to have to start a new sign like the Warriors. This is our year. Hold it up every year. It seems like
don't do the Hurricanes like that. At least they're making quarters, man.
Yeah, that's true. They lost gracefully, if anything.
Yeah, you know your franchise is in dire straits when people are like, come on, top eight. Come on, top eight. Oh, really? Come on, man. But yes, they don't have that problem down there in Crusaders country. But
That's right. They
weren't the only team that lit up the semi-final stage. We're heading over to Saturday night's game against the Blues and Brumbies, and they took that game from the Crusaders and Chiefs and just added an extra few steps, because that had everything, you know, from athletic tries, crazy try-saving tackles, bit of controversy at the end, because this wouldn't be a Super Rugby season without it. I don't know really where to start. How about we just start from the beginning, and what do you make of this game, Scotty?
Oh, dude, let's start from the beginning. And the Brumbies had a freaking epic start. You know, scoring that Ire Simone try, running through a Stephen Perofeta.
Yeah.
You know what? I was actually thinking, I was like, oh no, Perofeta, is that the pressure getting to you? Semi-finals. But dude, he shook that off like a pro, right, man.
Quickly, eh?
Yeah. I honestly think that's probably what put him into All Blacks contention. Because I listened to podcasts and Ian Foster talks about that. It's just, and even I was listening to a Dan Cardle podcast today, and they talk about that. Just that ability to shake off when it goes bad, learn from it and move forward. Next job. It's hard to do, eh? Because that stuff plays on your mind, man.
Yeah, but you often see players. Yeah, sorry. You often see players go the other way, and they try too hard, and they're like almost, you know, they're their own worst enemy. But I think it was that kick that he made that almost that was the almost 50-20, and it's like, oh, okay, here he comes. Here he comes.
That
and
was his turning point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Dude. I mean, he was slick with ball in hand. He was putting guys in space. I think he was the starting point of the Sotutu try.
Yeah, he was.
He got 4 from 4 conversions, which, looking back and in hindsight, a conversion was the difference in this match. And Noah Lolesio missed one.
Yeah, two.
Right.
Oh, two. One conversion, two. One. Was it one conversion, one penalty, or two conversions? I think it was two conversions.
Yeah. Perofeta or Lolesio?
Lolesio.
I think he missed a conversion and maybe a penalty because I am late in the game. But, and then if we go into the second quarter, I mean, the Blues stepped it up a notch there, and that's where they scored their two tries before halftime. And Barrett was just glowing with confidence enough to have a nudge for a freaking droppy 50 minutes out.
Yeah.
Bro, he had time on there. If he'd taken one or two steps forward, it would have gone over.
100%.
Yeah. And I actually YouTubed a video today to see the top 10 like drop goals of all time. And it's like everybody on that list had just like ace freaking international stars of their countries. Yeah. And like I say, you just got to have confidence and poise to pull off a move like that. I mean, Zahn Sullivan done it in the previous match with the Brumbies, wasn't it?
Yeah. Won it for them.
Yeah.
Yep. Against the Brumbies.
Well, there you go. He's got a trait in him that could make him take him all the way. But the second half. What did you think of that? They seemed to fall off a little bit. The tides turned because it seemed like they had this match in one hand on the trophy almost.
Yeah, and I was it was like the second half of the second half, and the Blues were. I was like, what's going on? And I was like, actually, we've seen this before. Their very first game against the Hurricanes. I was like, no, do not exercise your demons in semi-final like footy. Don't do this to me, Blues. I backed you guys right from the beginning. And it was slowly happening. Tom Wright, all those boys, they just really stepped it up. Not only that, the coach makes a huge call by taking off one of their star players and Rob Valentini. What is going on, man?
He hasn't played for a while, though, let's be honest.
True. A slightly undercooked Rob Valentini, but was it Jerome Brown came on and he made an immediate impact too. It's just like, I don't know, that the Blues discipline didn't help them either, but...
Nah.
Oh, Brumbies. I forget who I said it to, but I said after the Hurricanes game, I was like, don't you be laughing at us because they just showed, you know, the competition that they are the real deal. They deserve to be in this the semifinal. Yeah. And they, controversies aside, they probably should have been. Oh, do we want to go down that rabbit hole? Maybe not. But I just hope that the Blues still have enough left in the tank because that's a crazy finals matchup against the Crusaders. And we've seen teams in the past who play their best game in the semifinals. It's like, oh, no, there's another one to go, boys. So, but it's not all about the Blues. The Brumbies, Scotty, they had an awesome game. Was there anyone that really stood out for you? Any moments of brilliance? Because this team deserves all the shout outs. That was a crazy game by them.
Oh, when it comes to the Brumbies, jeepers, I'm trying to think of probably Tom Wright probably had the best game for them. He had the good try saver, Bodie Barrett. That was real funny, man. He milked a yellow card. Can I say that? I think it was the tip tackle. It was the choke, wasn't it? The choke yellow. On the 74th minute. Bro, he got up within seconds. It was unbelievable. He stayed down just enough for the ref to stop the game.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and just runs back into position. But I don't know. Is that just like genius from him or the cheek of the man? But he had a really good game. And I think who was it? Lonergan, the hooker.
The brothers.
The brothers. Bro, their set piece is so dangerous, eh? But I don't know if you've ever been, I mean, I think, you know, from the position you played as lock, you wouldn't spend much time at the back of a mall there, would you? Securing that ball. It can be pretty tough, man, when it's going side to side and you're trying to keep your head in and stay tight and all that jazz. But they seem to do it flawlessly, eh, the Brumbies. And I know we're trying to give them kudos here, but that's where I'm actually going the other way and saying that maybe the Brumbies are just one-trick ponies, because you take their penalties out of the game, what do they have? They weren't scoring much before that. They rely on Lolesil to kick goals, and they rely on the other team to give away penalties to kick for the corner. So, tell me I'm wrong. The game turned around when the Blues started playing up.
But, you know, this is the second week in the row that the Brumbies have had to come from behind. Okay, they got up over the Hurricanes. They, you know, and that was a bigger lead. And, you know, they just have this sort of belief that they can crawl themselves back into a game and certainly make it interesting.
Well, I think when it comes to attitude, that they do have a Crusaders-like or Crusader-esque attitude. They're like the Crusaders of Australia. They'll play for even the like, lady.
Yeah, you alluded to like the set piece. But like their forwards, I don't remember them like taking one step back. Like there were some big collisions against some of the best forwards in the country. I'm excited to see what they can produce down there in Brumbies, because it's a relatively young team. So, shit. Here's a question for you. A little bit of a curveball. Did Erai Simone just play himself into the starting Wallabies jersey? Because that's not the first time he's torn New Zealand teams apart.
I think so, man. He looked good with ball in hand, eh? And you need someone like that who can crash the ball up and bust tackles at second five. Only thing I didn't see from him was a kicking game, but it seems like no second five has a kicking game at the moment, so he won't be out of place in amongst the crowd. But, I'd love to see him playing in the Wallabies jersey and tearing it up with maybe Ikitau or Andrew Callaway at 13.
No, push him out to the wing where he's deadly, man.
Yeah, bro. He wasted talent, hey. We shouldn't go off topic, but
we know how much you love the guy. He'll make your fantasy team every day of the week, eh, Scotty?
Bro, harder. Andrew Galloway.
Wowzers. Well, there you have it, folks. Not so quick roundup of the weekend's games, but look, they were both mouthwatering matches that turned out to be exactly what we were hoping for. And some players, you know, it just added to their legacy, may have even helped them out with some of the All Black selections that went on. Was it yesterday, Scotty?
Wednesday.
Go for it. That was a As far as like spectacles go, New Zealand rugby really put on a show. Right. They went all out. It went from school assembly to Polyfest to back to rugby. And I was like, man,
what's going on here?
I definitely got my money's worth with a Sky subscription over here. But
yeah, it's like the Pacific Island All Blacks being selected. I was like, hey, what's going on here?
Hey, they're well represented in this team, but yeah.
I was enjoying it. I'll give you that. I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Too bad we missed out on all that free food they're talking about at the end there. Yes, please, get me in there. But look, there's plenty to talk about just about this announcement of the ABs. Guys, a lot of guys who get their debut. I probably wasn't expecting so many fresh caps, but I'm happy about it. What did you make of the selection overall?
Overall, like it is a strong side, and I was trying to think what angle is he going with here, and you can see there's a lot of size in this pack, in this forward pack, and a lot of flair. I mean, he's gone for, you know, the tried and true, you know, the Barretts, the Moongas in the back line, but he's just bolstered it up with you know, two of us are Sheck and Whanganuku, which I think is what we were missing. Just some more firepower outside of Rico Ioane, because he was guarded like he was gold in the last round of internationals. But yeah, the forward pack, yeah, looks pretty strong, man. We're about to get into it, but a lot of names missed out. But if we go to these debutants, I mean, Aiden Ross, you know, I reckon they've gone with him because he's quite a different style of front rower. He's able to defend in those wide channels, almost like a bit of an Angus Talvau in terms of his ability to get around the park. And I don't recall the Chiefs having a poor scrum either.
No.
I didn't look into that too hard, but you can see he's got his Lolalas and Tui Nukuafes and Tunga Fussies to take on the set piece. But yeah, let's talk more about that soon. But Peter Gustawakula, were you happy to see him?
My second favorite pick of this fresh class of debutants. We've talked about this guy at length all season, and I think if you could imagine, this is quite weird, a Hoskins Satutu with a bit more physicality, that's essentially what you get in Sawakula. I'm not trying to do a disservice to either of them, but the way he's played this year, he's been able to mix up sort of his offensive skill set and really create mismatches and the like for opposing defenses. Really love this pick. There's so much to go into.
Do you think they chose him for his offloading ability? Because we were lacking that last year, eh? Like his ability just to keep the ball alive.
Yeah, I think so. And there's another one in there, in Folau Fakatava. There's probably no one at the halfback position who does it better than him. So I kind of look at Fakatava and I think, ooh, he's sort of emulating none of the other like Kiwi incumbent halfbacks. Yeah. He's kind of looked at Anton Dupont, who's currently the world player of the year. Mm-hmm. And his ability to just like take defensive lines on for such a small frame is bloody courageous as hell, man. And I'm excited for this guy's future. I'm so glad he got picked. But the one I was really, really happy about was Lester Whanganuku, because as you mentioned earlier, that back line was lacking some serious punch. So I don't really care where you put him at, midfield, out in the wing. He's going to make an immediate impact. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if this guy scores a bunch of tries in that island test. The last time, who was the last winger to score three tries against Ireland on debut? That's very specific. You should get it.
Ooh. Is that Julian Savia?
Man, and I'm getting like real mad Julian Savia vibes about this guy. He's coming at the right time, enough time to sort of mature until next year's tournament. So,
He's been surrounded by All Blacks too, which helps. So he's going to have a level of confidence going into the ABs, which is, you need that, bro. Going in there. You can't go in thinking you're the little boy in the pack. You've got to go in thinking you're the best player on that rugby field if you want to stand out. And, yeah, he plays like that every week.
And two guys who maybe would have come as a little bit of a surprise to the uninitiated, but what were your thoughts on Stephen Perofeta and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck?
Roger. Bro, Perofeta, he wholeheartedly deserves it. He's played consistent from game one this season. I think we were talking about it even as potential bolter in, what, week three maybe?
Yeah,
for the All Blacks. And he's just owned those kicking duties. He's playing under pressure. He's creating magic left, right, and center. He's going to be a fantastic addition into that fly half spot, and then even chucking him back at fullback. I mean, watching him and Barrett play together at the Blues, I can't wait for them to do that on the international stage with that perhaps that little bit extra X factor around them, and a Ford pack, a Rolls Royce Ford pack, running in front of them. I just can't wait. And then you got RTS as well. I mean, he's a freak of nature. I think they've done a great job getting him in there. They need to blood him in, you know, teach him the role, the patterns, rugby IQ. Get him back up to speed
and all that. Yeah,
that's it, bro. Get him playing with the best. I mean, thank God he's been surrounded by Barrett and Ioane. But yeah, I think he's going to learn a lot from even the other guys, Goodhue and just knocked that, and Tupai. Even he's going to learn a lot from those boys, and hopefully after this tour, you know, as they do, they create friendships and they start, you know, sharing and mixing and mingling. So. Bro, RTS is a good pick. Very happy with those debutants.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. But, you know, if six guys get the call up, Scotty, that's six guys who miss out. What were some of the big names that you were sort of shocked at as far as not getting the call up?
Yeah, okay, well, I'll let me rumble through the forwards. So these are previous ABs who have missed out. So you've got in the propping department, Tyrell Lomax, Owen Franks. Yes and no, he's pretty old now, but there was a slither of a chance. and even Alex Hodgman, I think he was starting to find some form too. But there's only so much room. And I guess maybe you can have a full Blues front rowing squad, but anyway, Alex Hodgman, and then you got Asafa Almua. He's had a bit of a up and down season. He's had minimal minutes on the park, but hasn't really shone the way we'd like to see him. I think even O'Reilly probably outplayed him this year in the number two jersey for the Canes. But no Asafa Almua. Then you got Luke Romano. I thought he might have gained himself a rebirth, but at the same time, they are looking, you know, into the future for the World Cup. If I'm looking at these locks here, there's not really anyone you want to throw out. Maybe Brody Retallick or Sam Whitelock could have been pushed out, but I don't know. You go back into previous season and they're going to perform. You know that. So I think he's made the right call there. Luke Romano is just finishing his career on an all-time high. It's going out a legend. and then Luke Jacobson, it's hard to find a spot for him with these Lucy's that he's picked. I mean, if Dalton Papali'i stays as an injured player in quotations, does that make room for Luke Jacobson? Who knows? But a great player to miss out. And then Shannon Frizzell, he was playing great before he got injured, and then he came on and continued to play great. Weird choice there. But I don't know. Do they can't kick out Sam Kane? So what do you do? Yeah.
Well, I feel for Shannon Frizzell because I really like his style of play, but he probably suffers from the same sort of syndrome as Akira Ioane, as far as being around for quite some time, but never really taking off. We're still waiting for both those players to really to show up. They've had odd games here and there where they've been amazing, but looking for the full package, and it looks like they had to get rid of one of those two,
Akira and Frizzell are quite similar, I would say, type. So I guess you kind of, if you're looking for diversity within your squad, you probably wouldn't want to have two people the same. But then looking at this lineup that he selected, there's really only one specialist six, and maybe Dalton Papali'i slots into six as well. And then you got a Tupou Vaai. That's really about it. And then they've experimented with Scott Barrett, which I hope they don't carry on doing that.
You don't like him at six?
I don't know. I think he's just a better in the locking department.
True.
He's competitive and pushes the boundaries. But in terms of a running game, I like the others' running game better. I mean, Tupou Vaai's got an awesome running game, Makita and Frizzell. So I'd rather them in there. But yeah, who in the back line, mate, has missed out?
Ooh. Well, I think the big one is perhaps Brad Weber.
Yeah.
Purely because this guy was amazing all season for the Chiefs when he was available. I mean, that halfback position is so deep in New Zealand. I really do feel for this guy because you know, he's had to step in as captain on occasion because Sam Kane's been out, and he's just led this team with passion and with a lot of pride. I really do like the way he sort of carries himself. Gives great post-match interviews as well. Isn't afraid to shed some more light on what happens behind the scenes at Chiefs. But as far as his footy goes, you're looking at him, Finlay Christie, and Aaron Smith. I didn't quite have Fakatava that high in my sort of rugby depth chart. I just feel like maybe someone like Finlay Christie has contributed more to the success of a team. But I had those three like quite even, and unfortunately Brad Weber doesn't cut the mustard this time round.
Do you think that the reason they took Fakatava because they don't want three halfbacks that play a similar style? I mean, I think probably Aaron Smith and Brad Weber probably play the most similar, but actually. Because Christie's got an attacking edge too, doesn't he?
Christie and Weber are quite similar.
Yeah.
Aaron Smith, somewhat of a, in his older age now, has reverted back to more of a pocket passing halfback with less.
He's just a game driver, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And
a safe option.
Yeah, and with Fakatava, he's at times outplayed Aaron Smith down at the Highlanders, and you just think he's been given extended minutes. He's been asked to start games for them, and there's a great deal of upside that it looks as though the All Blacks selectors are wanting to experiment with. So,
As I say, an interesting comment around Fakatava I heard them talking about on SENZ was around his lack of game management at the top level, because he's always coming off the bench, 20 minutes left in the game. You got just this free for all. Just do what you can, really. Look for the gaps, look for the mismatches. So it'll be interesting to see if they use him in that light or they keep him doing the 1-2 punch because he's so freaking good at it.
Yeah.
You know, our bench is always one thing that we rely on with the All Blacks, and we always, in that last 20, we step it up a notch, but that's courtesy, credit to the bench, really. So maybe that's what they're sort of going for. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
I to be honest with you, I get what you're saying, but I feel like even with this youngish team, I just go back to that Ireland and France game last year, and you almost can't wait to the second half to play footy. You can't wait to, we know New Zealand teams like to score before halftime and then score again after halftime. Mm. It's like that's 30 minutes of just playing conservative rugby and just allowing the other team to really just press your defensive schemes, and that really shone through last year, where we're trying to chase games, we're trying to put the foot down, and you've got both the clock pressure and the scoreboard pressure to contend with. And I really do hope that some of these younger players get to start instead of coming off the bench. So who knows? Maybe a mixture of youth and experience could see this All Black change their philosophies somewhat. But yeah, we've been talking a lot this season about potential bolters. there are the capped All Blacks players who missed out, but there have been some guys who are on the fringes who played lights out footy this Super Rugby season. You'd agree, right?
Yeah.
Who who was the guy that you had money on to make the All Blacks this year?
Bro, I had money on Kurt Eklund, eh?
Yeah.
I really thought he was going to have a good nudge at it just because of Dane Cole's injuries and his lack of minutes. Even though you know what you're going to get from Colsey.
Yeah.
I just thought Eklund just, he earned his way in. He performed really well. He scored a bunch of tries. He was physical. Yeah. He was consistent. That's the key word there. Consistency. And yeah, I really thought he was going to make a run for a berth there, but not to be. I see probably Dane Coles or Cody Taylor getting injured, I reckon. And seriously, it'll happen, bro. Just watch. It'll either be Dane Coles' calves or Taylor's, I'll say, shoulder. There you go.
Okay. So we'll pull Dane Coles for any remaining Ponica games down at Kilbirnie Park. And be doing us a favor.
Yeah. That was good seeing him playing for Ponica in the weekend. I was watching it live on TV. On Facebook Live. But, bro, it was so cool to see the names show up, eh? For the local club.
Yeah. So good, eh?
Right, big time. Did Julian play for Ori? I didn't see
I think he's on holiday.
Is he?
If Instagram serves me right. Even Adi Savia was down at the Ponica game too, apparently, walking his dog.
Oh, was he?
So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's been sighted. So, All Blacks, they're not afraid to give back to their grassroots clubs. So good to see.
Yeah. Was there anyone that you thought should have made it, or were you on the same thought pattern as me?
I had two. I had two guys I really, really would have liked. I wanted to make the team. They're both from the Blues, and Mark Talaire and Tom Robinson.
Yeah.
I really thought they would have gone for like a throwback six with a slight edge of X factor, and that's precisely what Tom Robinson brings. Mm. And his immense work ethic. This guy's unlucky, man, because he's been there or thereabouts for a few seasons now. And I'm just wondering, what else has this guy got to do, barring someone else getting injured, to prove that he's the number one six? He's even spent a lot of time at lock. And that positional flexibility, we know that the All Black selectors love. So, man, Big Red, feel for you, bro, because you're playing some mean footy at the moment. And same goes with Mark Talaire. Acrobatic guy who loves the aerial battle. And there's probably no one, probably Geordie Barrett only, who's probably as comfortable in the air as Mark Talaire. Scored a bunch of tries. And who can forget that crazy acrobatic effort where he dove and like nearly landed on his head. This guy's got a bright future. And I don't think he's just a product of like a really good team and him just cashing in. This guy's really taking games by the scruff of the neck and showing his value all season long. So Mark Talaire, you're going to get in there soon, mate. Keep plugging away. I think all in all, like if I had to, obviously there are players who are, you know, injured and weren't available for selection. We've already heard about the injuries to Ethan Blackadder, Joe Moody, Anton Leonard-Brown, and you've got Patrick Tupulotu and Damian McKenzie still on their sabbaticals. even TJ Pitanara is injured as well. So that's a lot of guys who are there or thereabouts unavailable that you could even just create a 15 from those guys. It's actually insane. But I think to wrap up this crazy introduction to international footy, I reckon it would be a good idea to really grade the selection, similar to how they grade your the exams over in America. I'll go
Ooh.
first.
Okay.
Because they've addressed some of the key issues around age by selecting a whole lot of young guys, also some decent support as far as X Factor in the back line, I really have to grade the selection an A or maybe even A plus. I don't even know if that's possible. The All Black selectors, for the first time, and I feel like in a long time, have really thrown the kitchen sink here to address the fact that perhaps they know deep in their hearts that they're no longer the number one team in the world, and they're wanting to change it up. So, A plus for me. I'm really excited to see how these young guys go and how these debutants go. RTS especially, guys. Yeah. Oh, I was blown away by the selection. What about you, man?
Yeah, interesting. You went with the A plus. I would probably sit with an A because there's one name on this team sheet who I don't think should be there, in all honesty.
Okay, you saved that one.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to find a way to squeeze it in, and you've just presented that, so thank you.
There you go.
But the one name I don't think should be there is actually Kao Tuanukuoffe, and for two reasons. One, he's not. He's already told us he's leaving New Zealand shores. So why are we taking him on this tour? And then two, he's not going to be available for the World Cup. So why are we not keeping a guy like Tyrell Lomax in there who we know can perform at that level or something like that? So I thought that was interesting that they went with Carl for that choice. So, but I am happy with the rest of the squad. I would give it an A. To give it a plus, I would probably switch him out for maybe not a super young prop, but someone that's been there already and we know is going to be around for selection at World Cup time. So there you go. Is that a fair criticism?
Now that's 100% fair. I agree with you actually. So, I don't
Yeah.
know. Like he's made his plans and good on him. So he's
Yeah.
gonna
Oh,
have
yeah.
an
I don't
absolute.
blame him. I just think that if we're looking at a year out from the World Cup, we've got to be continue to be strategic. As John Kerwin keeps saying, 18 games, 18 games. That's 18 games. It's not very many to get it
No.
right and to blood new
No, it's
guys in.
not.
Yeah. But hey, look, man, it's a great looking team. He's picked guys on previous history, but most importantly, he's picked guys on form. He's shown everybody that you can get in this team if you just play well from week one to week 15. So, no, it's a good start to the new Ian Foster era. We can't really call the other one his era because it was pretty disrupted. Even he admits that. They
Fair
have a
fair
4-year
enough.
cycle and he couldn't execute his plan, so they've had to quickly re-strategize and switch things up. So
Yeah,
yeah, nah.
I think they've certainly done that with this squad. So, hey, I've got my tickets to the Wellington leg of the Ireland v All Blacks game. Scotty, have you got tickets?
I don't know. Do I have tickets, Felix?
Yes, you do. You're supposed to
Oh,
say
yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure. You haven't told me if
yes.
I got them or not.
But yeah,
Yes, I've got tickets.
I'm super excited to catch the series. The good thing about this one is that they're in Auckland first, Christchurch second, is it? And then Wellington's the last leg. So the All Blacks tend to put on a show like 30 plus points when they play in Wellington. So I'm expecting a high scoring affair. No doubt Kiwi Roots Rugby will have a presence there, and we'll round up that weekend's game as well. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. That wraps us up for this episode, doesn't it, Scotty?
One
Is
last
there
thing.
anything else? Oh, you go.
One last thing. We didn't get our predictions for the final.
Holy!
Holy
Oh, did we
Hector.
forget about that?
It's not on the run sheet. I assume you'll go there.
we could just squeeze it in before the All Blacks announcement chat.
That's all good. Nice way to finish because we're bringing it back to the here and now. So that's all good, or the upcoming.
No, I'm glad we're back at Super Rugby. So, I picked them before. I'll pick them again. I'm sticking with the Blues. Eden Park sold out in the first 5 hours. Guys, Blues Army are going to turn out and drown the Crusaders out. There you go, Scotty. Who are you going?
Let's hope. Look, it's the Crusaders' 16th finals berth, but bro, with the talent on display and potential injuries in that camp, i.e. Havili, I can't. And if Pablo's out too, that's some decent firepower and excellence, not on that park. Yeah, I can't see the Blues losing this, not at Eden Park. They've done it before with the Crusaders this year at their home ground, and they'll finish it off at Eden Park. The Blues for the win.
Starting the Kiwi Roots podcast, as always, guys. we don't discuss too much beforehand. We just think similarly. That's all. so both going with the Blues. Let's go. Like if they're gonna release extra tickets, man, I'm gonna book them in if I can get through. Anyways, that's not related. but yeah, thanks for joining us on this episode. We've gone roundabout, but it's all love here. From Kiwi Roots Rugby, signing out. Cheers.
See you guys.